A new day has arrived.
It's a brand new day.
A day where the best content across the sports landscape finds a permanent radio destination.
Welcome home.
Nice new digs.
We have designed for you a map, a sports map.
Look, a map.
In which all roads lead here. The Sports Map Radio Network.
A map. Good idea.
Welcome, America, to Sports Map Radio.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Wake up, Cole!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And that is right. It is the Sports Map Radio Network. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D and Ron Culver. Good Monday to you. So we finally had the weekend of baseball. It was fun on Thursday, right? A couple of games in. And now we got the weekend series that are kind of wrapping up. So what did we learn? Did we learn anything in the first three games? I mean, these are kind of important three games given that the season is down to 60. Well, there's a report out of Houston that Justin Verlander is done for the season. However, Verlander is questioning that report on Twitter. How long is he going to be out with a strained forearm? No idea. But in a 60-game season, you would think, oh, that's an important injury. That's a big deal. Because, oh, wait, they expanded the playoffs. Now it doesn't feel as impactful. Now it doesn't feel like the Astros are in trouble. If Verlander does come back, he'll come back in the latter half of the 60-game season, be ready to go for the playoffs. If he doesn't come back at all, the Astros still have a good enough team that they should make this 18 per league postseason, even if they're scrounging around for the seventh or the eighth seat. This is the bed you have to lie in when you expand the postseason. You lose a little bit of that energy. You lose a little bit of that urgency. And the Astros shouldn't have any problem making the playoffs. It's where they're going to be seated, no matter what they lose for Verlander. But baseball's got a bigger problem as we continue on the Sports Map Radio Network. Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver, and that's with the Marlins. Some coronavirus testing came through. Number of players got it. They're staying in Philadelphia. Could be this a problem as we continue with Wake Up Call.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we'll help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, our professional parts people will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, get 15% off a set of Brake Best pads and two rotors. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us here on a Monday on the Sports Map Radio Network. Tony D, Ron Culver. Look at this rebirth feeling this morning, Ron.
It's feeling fun.
Absolutely. It feels real fun. Good.
It does.
Yeah, it does. I always like this kind
it's
of
exciting.
Stuff.
It's exciting.
You know, new voice, new imaging, a new feeling. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmap.com. Check it out. Good site for all the sports, some good sports information, some really good writers. Our own Jake Asman writes for it, Fred Fowler. You can find some really good writing there at sportsmap.com as we continue along a wake-up call this morning. So speaking of Houston, as we talked about this, so the feeling in the city of Justin Verlander, this is, again, a story that kind of comes along and you go, all right, which do I believe? Because the injury is a strained forearm, and as many in the media, including Jeff Passan at ESPN, is pointing out, that's usually code for elbow injury.
Yeah.
That has been a long-term kind of injury code that if you covered Major League Baseball, followed Major League Baseball, you've kind of said, oh, wait, it's a lot worse. It's never a strained forearm, right? It's always something deeper and something more ominous.
So,
and But we don't know because Verlander's like, no. Don't everybody calm down. I'm not done for the season.
Yeah, I mean, is that the question? Do we believe Verlander or do we believe, I guess, history, science, doctors?
And the Houston Chronicle found somebody within the organization that said, oh, yeah, he's finished.
I can tell you this much. The mood in Houston went from jubilee to 2020.
2020.
Just can't have nice same things in 2020.
But, you know, this is one of the things I was talking about at the top of the hour. This is one of the problems that you have, though, when you say, let's let everybody into the postseason. It's no big deal. Are the Astros going to miss the playoffs because they lost Verlander? Well, they may not win the World Series, but when you're talking eight teams, I mean, look, the first two teams in every division is going to go, and then everybody else that finished third or worse is going to vie for two more spots that are in the playoffs. If the Astros aren't on that list, if they're not one of the top eight teams in the American League, even without Verlander, with that lineup, and Lance McCullers back, I'll be blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, that means a complete and utter collapse of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean,
for 2020.
I mean, Verlander's a great pitcher, but he pitches once every five games.
Yeah, it's not like you lost Bregman and everybody else, to COVID for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that would be more catastrophic if you started losing your main everyday players.
Just outscore them by more, right? I mean, it's all, you still got Greinke. McCullers is off of Tommy John surgery. What, Wade Miley is still in the rotation? Is that right?
Sure. I don't even know who's in the Astros. All I know is that it went Verlander, McCullers, and then Greinke. And then two other guys.
I would even say that even without Verlander, given the shortness of the season and the power of their lineup, I wouldn't even dismiss them under the old playoff system where you had a division winners and two wild cards. I still wouldn't have dismissed them. I mean, I would have said, all right, maybe if the A's are hot or something else, some other surprise team sort of kicks in and they struggle. But I just can't see them struggling now. I can't see this whole the wheels come off this organization so that they're not in the postseason. Now, if Verlander is right and he's saying, look, I'm not done for the year, but we don't have a timeline to when he comes back. If he does come back, then just keep the ship afloat, get moving, and you become a playoff team that may be a six seed, but still one of the favorites to win the World Series when you bring Verlander back, if indeed that's going to happen. But baseball's got another problem on its hands, and that's with the Marlins, because now that there's COVID testing and now they've got a couple of positive tests with Miami, that's enough to freak people across baseball out. Because, we all knew that this was going to come up eventually, right? There was going to be a team that was going to have a number of its players test positive. What do you do? Do you get them quarantined, fill their roster spots, continue to play? What do you do about travel? What do you do about them playing future games? What do you do about going to other cities without immediate testing of the rest of the team, the players that the positive ones had in contact with? Here's the thing. It came within the first 4 days of the season, right? Before the first weekend of the season, we've already got the Marlins going, oh, geez, so we've even played those games? Already, this is, again, look at the NBA. Put them in a bubble, keep them in a bubble. If they leave the bubble and come back, they got to quarantine. Baseball was like, well, there's no bubble. Just go do your thing. Go home. Go and be with your family. Show up to the ballpark. There'll be no fans, and that's what we'll do. And, we'll social distance as best as possible, but go live your life. Well, the Marlins did, and now they've got positive tests. And who knows where this comes about with other teams. This is the first major roadblock that this league is going to have. Does the league start getting panicky, or do they say, look, we got to fight through this? Now we got to fight through this. Get players out. Get them quarantined. We gave you an expanded roster, so fill those spots. Let's get these games in. The more games we start canceling, the more games we start pulling off the schedule, the more this pandemic is going to dominate our season. And as much as we have to be cautious in the safety of our players, we cannot disrupt the season so much that this looks like a terrible idea. That this looks like we did not do our due diligence on this virus and what it could do to the season and to our players if it starts to infect more and more players and infect more and more games. It's already right out of the gate we're talking about this. I mean, right out of the gate, there's already columns going, did Major League Baseball make a mistake? You know, should the Marlins have been allowed to play? They're going to be staying in Philadelphia. What do they do? What do they do? But again, something that we've been talking about all through this pandemic, all throughout this quarantine is if sports is going to do this, right, they've got to do this in a way that finds a way to keep the machine alive, to keep the machine going. You know, you don't want to shut down premature, but you don't want to make, you don't want to continue business as usual. You've got to have the protocols in place. Hopefully baseball is looking at this and looking at this carefully and saying, look, the decisions that we make on the Marlins are going to be decisions that we're going to make throughout the season. We've got it up and running. People are excited about it. The product didn't lessen on television with the piped in noise and the cardboard cutouts and the fact that nobody was in the stands. I didn't, in the few baseball games that I watched this weekend, I didn't feel like I was missing something because nobody was in the crowd, right? I didn't feel that way. I just enjoyed the competition. The games count. They matter. We're in a different type of, you know, season with the expanded playoffs and the shortened season. It feels historic and we are underway. You've done it, baseball. You've got it done. We hated the way you got it done, arguing over money rather than safety protocol, but you did it. Now it's time to look at the product that you're putting out on the field and saying, all right, how is this going to be affected by this virus and how are we going to deal with it when we have more stories like the Marlins? Because today it's the Marlins, tomorrow could be the Yankees, tomorrow could be the Mets, tomorrow could be the Red Sox, could be the Dodgers, it could be any team. What do you do? If you tell the Marlins that they have to sit out a certain amount of games until the whole team is tested, until the whole team is properly treated or properly diagnosed for this virus, then you got to do that consistently. And are you going to do that to the Yankees in late September when they're making a run towards winning the American League? Are you going to do that to a team that is vying for the eighth spot? Are you going to do this for a team that is vying for the seventh, sixth, or eighth spot, where they're bundled up with a bunch of teams fighting for a postseason berth? You going to tell them to shut down? What do you do, forfeit games? What do you do? How do you do this? What they do to the Marlins is going to give us a real indication of where we're headed. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad you could be with us here on a Monday. It is the Sports Map Radio Network. It is Wake Up Call. We've got Chris Mad Dog Russo coming up in 20 minutes. We'll talk baseball with him. Get all of this kind of out. Get this feeling of what baseball has done in its first weekend. Look, there was some stuff on the field that was great. There was stuff on the field that made you go, oh, maybe they came back too soon. Maybe they needed a longer spring training. Not only Verlander, but a couple of other pitchers are feeling the pressure of coming back like they did to this restart of the season. And we'll talk to him coming up in 20. But coming up next, the Jets did get rid of Jamal Adams. What did they get in return? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Ron Culver, who's in Houston, did you survive Hurricane Hannah? You good?
You know, it was touch and go there for a little bit.
75 mile an hour winds?
Yeah. That's nowhere tough. Near us.
No, it didn't come near you?
No, not at all. It was further south, about 4 hours all south. Right. It did.
Whoa. 4 hours south?
4 hours south. It hit a town called Corpus Christi.
Well, I asked you this morning, I said, how was your weekend? You're like, well, we survived the hurricane.
Yeah.
4 hours south?
Four hours
That would
up.
Be like me saying, well, I survived the earthquake that happened in Indianapolis.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, it was a big big brouhaha here. Everyone was prepared. Everyone feared the worst. But you know what? I mean, we got rain. But we didn't.
Okay, you got rain, but
we
didn't nearly get the hurricane.
No, we had winds of like 20 to 25 miles per hour.
See,
that
here
was
I
it.
Was thinking that you guys were all buckled down while the shingles were coming off your roof.
I think some
go
were.
Go out there and get the grill cover. It's flying away.
I think some people took advantage, and changed up their hoarding style from hoarding for coronavirus to hoarding for hurricanes.
Hurricanes, yeah.
You know, right, more bottled water and salted meats to keep
4 hours away. Yeah. If you had said 30 minutes, I still would have been like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
4 hours might as well be in another state, except you live in Texas.
You know, the only cool thing about it was is that you could actually see, you could see the hurricane when you looked up above. Like, you could see, these bands. Because, I mean, when it's a wind pattern that just kind of keeps spiraling around, and you can just see these clouds just constantly whipping around. That part was kind of cool. You step outside, yep, there it is.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you survived it nonetheless, quote-unquote survived it. Again, Chris Mad Dog Russo will join us, SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, also host of High Heat on MLB Network. We'll talk some baseball with him, including what his thoughts were on the first weekend that was Major League Baseball. I watched a few games this weekend. I kind of perused and checked out some. I wasn't bothered whatsoever, absolutely whatsoever, by the no crowds, the big tarps that were the advertisement, the piped in crowd noise. I wasn't bothered by that at all. I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. So I did wonder, though, there's a couple of injuries that occurred. Some pitchers are going to be dealing with some issues. Look, there's no other way to do it. They came back when they came back. It was just, when you come to an athlete who's used to some sort of routine, and pitchers were this offseason getting prepared for spring training, show up to spring training, then it gets shut down, and then you don't know what you're doing during quarantine. I mean, you're not working out at the team facility. You're not working out at all. I mean, maybe you're able to do some stuff with yourself, but you're not getting other, you're not gathering teammates at your complex home or, gym or wherever you are. You're basically on your own. And during the, so everybody's shut down. How does it affect pitchers? I mean, if you are a manager and you've got this short season and you're trying to figure out, what do I do with my aces? Do I allow them to go 7 innings or do I pull them after 3 or 2? The Rays have this system where they, everybody pitches 2 innings, right? I mean, the Rays are, Blake Snell might get some more outing, more of an outing, but Charlie Morton might get more innings. But overall, the Rays kind of do this, starter by committee thing. Snell, for example, got the start, win 2 innings, right? I mean, he's going to get more because he's that kind of pitcher as the season progresses, but that might be the better way to do it until these guys really get acclimated. So the big story again with Verlander is strained forearm or not. Is it code for elbow trouble, or is it strained forearm and he'll be back sometime in the next couple of weeks? 2 weeks will be reevaluated, and then we'll see where he is. He's not going to do anything while he's, waiting it out and getting reanalyzed and resting the arm. So maybe he's fresh for the last 2 weeks of the year. And pushes the Astros from a 7 seed to a World Series contender.
I know. I mean, that actually could be a great situation for the Astros.
Sure.
If it plays out on paper like we're all thinking or we're all saying it might be, or, I mean, if he's gone for the season, I mean, I still think the Astros make the playoffs. I just don't know if they'd have a deep run in them.
Yeah, that's true. Without Verlander, that's hard because then you're tightening things up, and you do need some sort of ace to get you the wins when you need them. You need to sort of count on that particular pitchers, you count on them to deliver a performance that allows you to win certain games at certain points in the series. All right, but the other story in the NFL over the weekend is Jamal Adams did get traded. He did not get traded to the Cowboys like he wanted so very, very badly. Instead, he's going to the Seahawks. Now, look, we have fun picking on the Jets, but we got to give it to the Jets on this one. Here you had a disgruntled player in Jamal Adams who was a pain in the rear to them. Publicly commented how much he wanted a trade, by accusing the owner of different things, and also just making it very clear he got 2 more years on his deal, and I don't want to be here. Send me away. And the Jets didn't have to do this. He's one of the best players at his position in the game. He's a Pro Bowler. This was a young player that they drafted in 2017. They did not have to do this. But here was the problem. Because Jamal Adams was so public And I mean, seriously, I mean, everybody in the country knew he hated being a Jet. He didn't want to play for Adam Gase. He didn't want to play for Woody Johnson. He didn't want to play at all for that organization. And screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming that he didn't want to be there. Even publicly saying how he would enjoy being on other NFL teams. That puts Joe Douglas in this odd position, the general manager of the Jets, which is, okay, now that everybody knows what a problem he's going to be and the fact that we're not going to be able to sign him to a long-term deal here in New York, we're just going to ride it out for 2 years, and we need to give him another home. We need to get something, otherwise we're not going to get anything. It puts – okay, so there's a competitiveness to get Adams from other teams, but you also know that you don't have to give up the farm to get him. Well, Seattle gave up a lot to get him. So good for the Jets to try to find pieces and teams that were willing to compete against one another to get the maximum deal for Jamal Adams. They got 2 first-round picks out of the Seahawks. They also got Bradley McDougal, and they also got a 3rd-round pick out of this deal. In return, they sent Adams to the Seahawks for a 4th-round and a 4th-round as part of the package. This works out great for everybody because Adams is out, and the Jets get some more pieces to build off of. They're going to have 4 first-round picks over the next 2 drafts. And this is where you start building up more cornerstone pieces. The problem is this, and this is a long-term issue with the Jets. And you can go through, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, Darrell Revis, players like that, that for whatever reason, that culture in that building does not allow players, I'm going to use that term loosely, to want to stay with that organization for a long period of time. You know, players get there and it's like they're doing penance. They got to play for the Jets for a little bit before they can go somewhere else and either A, make real money, or B, have a real chance of winning, or C, just to do something else but be in New York and play for the gangrene.
Or it's the other flip side where they take an aging star.
Yeah, right. Well, they take an aging star.
Now, right. I got to say this. You know it's really bad when Le'Veon Bell's calling you out for demanding a trade.
I know.
That's all that news. I was like, oh, look, he came full circle.
I mean, I would, yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got to be really a problem if Le'Veon Bell is saying, God, I wouldn't have done such a horrible thing.
I wouldn't have demanded a trade. No,
I wouldn't have done this.
You just sit out like the rest of us and then periodically pop up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let's not forget Le'Veon Bell missed an entire football season. Because he didn't want to play for the Steelers. He did not want to deal with the Steelers.
Still my favorite is him just showing up like at a YMCA.
You're right.
Play some basketball in Pittsburgh. It's like, why?
But look, Adams is a good player. He's not a good player. He's a great player. He's a pro player.
Yes.
He's a safety. Look, he was never going to be the highest paid player on the Jets, right? That was never going to happen.
No.
Right, but at
the would he even be the highest paid safety in the league?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, could he have gotten that sort of deal? Maybe. I mean, who knows what his negotiation tactics would have looked like and what he would have done over the next 2 years to warrant that kind of the kind of notoriety of being the top paid safety in the league. But he was not going to be the top paid player. I mean, the reports that he wanted to do that I can't believe that was true. He has to know that that's just not the way the NFL works. No matter what you are as a safety, you could intercept every pass thrown your way, right? You're not going to be the highest paid player on the team.
No,
right?
That's
because teams just won't throw to you.
That's going to be reserved to one position and one position only.
Exactly. Ever. That's it. It's the most important position in all of sports. You're not going to top that with any deal, right? You're not going to get $45 million a year to play safety in the National Football League. Are you nuts? Right. So, but listen, we pick on the Jets, but give them credit. They didn't just take a deal just to get rid of him.
This was a great haul. And I guarantee you our own Jake Asman is just dancing on cloud 9 right now.
Well, it depends on what they do with the picks.
Well, but right now, you know,
but getting rid of this guy for 2 first round picks.
Yeah. Right now. I mean, yeah, it all depends. I mean, they can find 2 first round busts, which would be very Jet like, but right now, because the draft is, you know, seems like eons away. Jake, you know, he's a Jets fan.
Got to be thrilled.
He'll give up going on a date with a hot chick to watch a Jets game.
That's right. It's true. That is so true.
He's admitted to it over and over and over again.
Look, if they do their due diligence on those picks, and again, they have their 2 of their own and 2 for Seattle, wherever those may be. I mean, Seattle looks like they're all in 2020. I mean, they look like they're ready to go compete. And think about how tough that division is.
Yeah.
Right? The last 2 Super Bowl participants came from that division. In the last decade, if I'm counting right, two for the Seahawks, two for the 49ers, and one for the Rams in the last 10 years. Five Super Bowl participants from that division, right? And we know that Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray could be doing great things with DeAndre Hopkins in town. Look, the Seahawks are all in 2020 with this deal. I mean, that's what they've been saying, and this is some of the deals that they have already made. But go back to the Jets. Good for the Jets. A disgruntled player that was going to be a problem. A league that knew the Jets had to jettison this guy. Could have sold him short. Get some competition with teams to try to figure out how to get Adams, and you end up getting the kind of haul the Jets did. Good for Joe Douglas. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Works fast, and you won't stink. It's pharmacist-recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. Simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast, and you won't stink.
From reviews on the latest vehicles to vintage rides to tips on keeping your family safe on the road, if you love cars, trucks and SUVs, and the amazing technology hitting your favorite showroom, check out automotivemap.com.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage, home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Major League Baseball season is now up and running. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Chris Mad Dog Russo joins us. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, 3 to 6, host of High Heat on MLB Network. And more importantly to a guy like me, one of the fathers of this industry. How are you, Chris?
Hello, Tony boy. How are you today?
How are you? Good to see you. Yeah, doing good. Given COVID, given everything that we've been experiencing this spring / summer, the negotiations, they were really contentious. Did you think we'd get to a point where we'd have a 60-game schedule?
Probably not. There was a time there you had to be very pessimistic. And I think, you know, the economic issue was what it was. I think Manfred probably didn't realize going in how firm the players are going to be about getting a prorated salary after they lost that 2016 CBA. But, you know, I think his health protocols have been pretty good. I mean, I think, you know, listen, they got through the first weekend. You got issues with the Marlins now. And the traveling issue with COVID would worry you some. But I think baseball's done a pretty decent job. I mean, it's a little dead without the fans. I think we'll get used to it. I thought Buck and Smoltz did a good job on the Fox game on Saturday night, where it didn't really feel like they were doing the broadcast remotely. And, you know, Fox was in Buck was in Denver and Smoltz was in Secaucus. And I know, and I had a decent weekend. I don't have any problem with the top of the 10th inning stuff. I know there were three games there from that perspective. You know, I think overall they got to be pretty happy about their first weekend. I mean, I really do. I think they have to be relatively happy. I would not have put 16 teams in the playoffs. I would have done 14 because I would have given my top seeds in each league an advantage, and they didn't do that. And I think probably because they wanted more inventory to sell, but I think that's a mistake. I mean, if the Yankees are 45-15, and they very well might be, and they're playing, you know, Texas, you know, who's 25-35 in a first-round playoff series, the Yankees get absolutely no benefit from playing a good 60 games. So I think I would have done that, 14 instead of 16. But overall, I think baseball had a pretty successful first 3 or 4 days. Ratings were good on TV. The TV rating for High Heat on opening day was like the highest we've ever had.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I think people were chomping at the bit to watch something in baseball filled a void.
Given the expansion of the playoffs, given a 60-game schedule, now you're allowing a lot more markets to be in this thing come September. Was that the right call to do? You said 14. Was any expansion necessary given the shortening of the season?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the expansion. And I understand the scenario where, you know, you want to keep more markets an opportunity. I like the idea that you're protecting the real big teams who you know over 162 would have figured out a way to be there.
Sure.
And if they played badly over 60, you still give them an extra spot, a la Dodgers-Yankees. I just think that 16 is too much. First off, it's more than 50%. So the baseball has got to deal with the idea that they're putting 53% of their teams in the postseason, albeit a short year, it's still more than 50%. 14 teams is under 50%, and that seems to be a number people get annoyed at, where we're putting over 50% of their teams in the postseason, a la NHL and the NBA, which does that constantly. So that is one thing I like, and I just think you had to give the top seeds in each league a break, and they didn't do that. And I think they didn't do that because they wanted an even 8 playoff series, and it gives them an extra 4 games of inventory, maybe as many as 6 in October. And this is all a money run, let's be honest. They're trying to make up for some money that they lost from a postseason scenario or from a fan perspective, so they add the postseason revenue. So I'm not going to get on them for that because any league would do it, but I do think 14 would have been better than 16. And I think the Yankees, from what I have seen, and I watched a lot this week, and I was on top of it. I think the Yankees are the best team. The Yankees have the best bullpen and have the most power. And all these games come down in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th innings to these close games. And the Yankees hit the ball out of the ballpark, and you can't score off their bullpen. So because of that, I think the Yankees are the best team. I really do. I think they're better than the Dodgers. And at the end of the day, I think they're better than the Dodgers.
Chris Mad Dog Russo joining us here on a wake-up call. Given the 60-game schedule, given that you have a team, you can have teams now that over 162 just don't have the horses to get to the finish line, but may be able to do that now.
Right.
Are there dark horses in this that you're watching out for? Teams that could be around in the postseason?
Well, San Diego. I think San Diego is a team that, you know, probably would have been about an 84 or an 85 win team at best in a 162, and now, you know, which wouldn't get them in, but, you know, 32 and 28 would in a 60 game season. I think San Diego is a team that you'd have to keep an eye on in the NL. In an American League situation, I guess you got to say the Angels, who I think over 162 with their pitching would not suffice, but I think over 60 they can hit, and over 60 games they can sort of finagle away. They can win 20 games just with their offense. So over a 60-game scenario, maybe they'd be a little better, and they can go again 32-28, and 32-28 is going to get you in. So, I mean, it really does enable you to have a chance. Now, again, I don't think the Angels should have a chance to beat the Yankees if the Yankees are 44-16, but they're going to get that opportunity, and the Yankees are going to get nothing out of it because the Yankees are not going to have fans, so the Yankees are going to get 2 home games, and all they're going to do is get the last at bat. And the disadvantage of being at home if the game goes into the 10th inning is the other team will have a better chance of scoring first with the man on second base. And, you know, I'd rather start in that situation because then the team that comes up bottom of the inning is a little tight because you've already given up a run, and it's a little harder to score the man on second when you know that you have to compared to the fact when you, you know, it's still a tie game. So I think the Angels and the Padres would be the two teams that I could see dangerous in a 60-game season, those two.
What should Major League Baseball do in this Marlins situation? What can they do?
They're going to have to plow through it. I think you're going to see all these leagues plow through it. I think the NBA is going to plow through it. They have to plow through. Look at the NFL. I mean, you know, they're not going to have any practice time, and they're not going to go to practice until August 17th in the NFL, August 19th, before they put a pad on, and they're going to play 3 weeks later. These leagues are going to plow through it, and baseball is going to plow through it. The baseball situation, you know, you're going to have to be lucky with this virus and not have a big star get it at the wrong time. You know, Atlanta's had a lot of guys with it. The Marlins lose 4 or 5 guys. And baseball, that's why you got a big roster. Baseball is just going to hope that these teams can plow through it and you'll learn how to deal with it. Now, it's weird because, again, you know, you're compromised by something that is floating instead of something that is finite with an injury. But I think baseball, you know, barring a team, you know, losing 20 guys, you know, 4 is not enough. I think baseball is just going to grit their teeth and bear with it. The Marlins are a perfect example. I mean, the Marlins played yesterday, yep. So that's what they're going to. Baseball is desperate to get these games in, and barring, you know, really an outbreak that, you know, wipes out a couple teams in a division, they're going to deal with it.
Chris, given the injuries, that's always going to be a problem no matter what, how long your season is. But should managers be a lot more cautious with their pitchers in, given that the start, die, then restart, and how the pitchers are going into the season?
Yeah, I think that's something you got to be worried about. I mean, I was surprised the Cubs let Hendricks go all the way in that one win that they had. But I think that, you know, that's something that the manager is going to have to be concerned with. You know, how much do I push my starter here beginning of the year? You know, you saw a lot of pitchers bail out of this first week. You know, Strasburg, Kershaw, because of some injury concerns. But I think that you will see managers be very, very careful of how long they start their, you know, Buehler hasn't pitched. I think you're going to see them be very, very careful with their big pitchers. You know, I think that, you know, eventually you will see them be used. I mean, I think, by the way, another reason why the 16-team playoff thing helps is like I think there will be a less of an opportunity for these players to bail. Now, remember, if you only had 10 in the playoffs and you're on the Tigers, for instance, and you got off to a bad start, you know, you played 30 games and you're 10 out,
yeah,
you know, why would you finish the season? I mean, there's nothing to get. You give up the month of payroll. Why would you finish the year? And now with more chances to make the playoffs, maybe be more inclined to stick around. So I think that helps it, too. And I think you'll see these teams, once you get into the flow of the year a little bit and they play 15 games and get used to it, I think you'll see these teams try to win a championship. Whether the championship is legit at the end of the day, I think the fans will determine that. I'll make my own determination on whether I think it's an authentic title. I'm not ready to make that declaration yet. But I do think the teams realize once everybody settles in, realizes what they have, gets a little feel of how the year is going to be, learns how to deal with the road trips, I think you'll see, and how they handle the travel, I think you'll see the teams figure out a way and then determine whether they think this championship is worth going for. I think you'll see that as you move it along here.
Will we miss the fans in October? I mean, it's okay
definitely.
Now. Yeah, just
definitely,
that feeling.
Definitely. I definitely will. I think baseball is holding out hope that maybe at the end of the day fans could somehow attend in some capacity. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. If I was the NFL, same thing. The NBA and the NHL have already made a commitment. There won't be any fans. The other two sports, since they're playing in ballparks, home teams, they can hope. Yeah, I would be very worried about that. I would not like that. I think there's a good chance. I'm not that crazy about the crowd noise. Maybe that helps the players. You know, to me, it's I know there's no fans in there, so what's the point? But, you know, maybe it helps the broadcasters and the players. But I think come playoff time, now we're going to get used to it. Now, remember,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
After 60 games in 2.5 months, we, Tony, are going to get used to the idea there's no fans. So it's going to become commonplace. So that will help. But I do think in a big game, you'll miss the fans. And if you're a Dodger or an Indian fan and you have a one, you know, 1948 Cleveland, 1988 Dodgers, I mean, it's weird. How do you react if you're not in the ballpark celebrating breaking a long streak where you haven't won a championship? So that's odd, too.
Mad Dog, you're the best. I really appreciate it, as always, when you come on and talk some baseball with us. Appreciate it, my friend.
You got it, boys. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it today.
You got it. Chris Mad Dog Russo, again, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio, 3-6, and host of High Heat on MLB Network. As he said, got one of the highest ratings ever because we crave sports. It's our Progressive Guest Line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer. Only at Progressive.com. It is Wake Up Call. It's Sports Map Radio Network.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We urge you to check us out at sportsmapradio.com. Also, check out sportsmap.com, as we are the all-new Sports Map Radio Network. Glad you could join us. All right, a couple of things from Mad Dog Russo that I liked. He loves the expansion of the playoffs. You and I talked about this before the weekend on Friday. A good idea because it does allow all of these markets to experience the urgency of the season, right? I mean, you're not going to have like 10 teams out of first place by Labor Day. I mean, out of the playoff race by Labor Day. People are going to be in this thing. They're going to be maybe five games out of the eight seed or three games out of the eight seed with 2 weeks left to go. They may not be having a great season, but it allows markets to start having conversations about, could our team make the playoffs if they get hot over the final 2 weeks of the season? But the other thing, and I didn't even think about this, and he makes a very good point. Because the players are allowed to opt out of this thing, you are not going to have a bevy of players going, that's it. I'm not in. I don't care. I don't care. Don't pay me for the final month of the year, whatever. I don't think this is safe. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm 25 games out of first place. Now, because you do allow every single team to sort of feel like, hey, there's something to play for all the way towards the end, you're not going to see a bunch of players, including big name players, that could really opt out. I mean, guys who have made, you know, nine figures that could easily say, see, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I love how it, like what he pointed out, that it protects the bigger ball clubs.
Right.
You know, what I mean, if we ended the season right now, I think the Red Sox are out.
Yeah, the Red Sox are playing terrible.
Yeah, but right this, now. But allowing this, you know, over 2 months, if they're able to just kind of figure it out just a little bit, then they'll be in the playoffs.
Sure,
and that's what we want as viewers, anyways.
Tremendous pressure on managers now, all across the board. You are not in. You know, I hate to say this, but I saw it with the Rockies. All those years I covered the Rockies, where they were terrible. You see managers just get complacent, right? We don't have the team. We are going to compete, but we don't have the team. We know it. We don't have the pitching for 162 games. We don't have the talent for 162 games. I can rip this lineup to shreds. I can call up people from the minors. I don't have a 90-win team. I don't have an 80-win team. I barely have a 70-win team. But now you have every single team, and every manager in every single team needs to be in this thing, because they can be in this thing. And if you just catch enough fire, you can make the playoffs. There is nothing that is going to throw you out of this thing unless you get off to a horrific start. I mean, you have to blow up the month of August. I mean, you have to go maybe win five games in the entire month to be out of this thing by September. Well, will there be teams eliminated, you know, by early September? Maybe, of course, right? But there should be enough across the 30 teams to be in this, to sort of say, look, everyone's going to stay, everyone's going to play, and every market is going to feel. Listen, the 1 year the Rockies went to the World Series, I'll never forget this. Me and my boss were in a meeting. And we were in, it was a promotions meeting. And we had six stations, okay? So we had a rock station and a country station. So we were going around the room and we were talking about some of the promotional ideas that we had. This was 2007. The Rockies were they needed to win 14 of 15 games to close out the season to make the wild card. I remember a lady in that meeting said, Rockies playoffs, can we do anything? And we both laughed at her. 14 wins later, they were in the playoffs and went to the World Series. It can happen. It could happen for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.